Log Talk Radio.
Kingdom Ministry Newcomers Class, and I'm Brother Miles. On today, we are doing the second part of Messiah is not a who, but a what. And we learned on last week that this was a title and not a last name for Messiah. So let me open up some mics here. Sister Mary, shalom. And you'll have to unmute your mic.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom. Shalom, Sister Rachel. And if you're talking, Sister Rachel, your mic is muted on your end, I guess.
Shalom.
Shalom. How you doing? Oh, there goes my Sister Denise. How you doing? I'm fine, thank you. Shalom. As people come on, I'll open up their mics on this evening. We are continuing, as I said, in this Christ is not a who but a what. And this is probably the second part is going to be longer than the first one because the Most High, if we think about this, when the Most High created the universe, everything. It wasn't a big enough act for him to put his name on. He just simply said, Elohim did it. But when it came to our salvation, he had to use his name. And so in using his name, you know, Messiah said, I come in the volume of the book. Search the scriptures, in them you think you have life, but they are they that testify of me. And so we're going to look at the power of the Most High, and we're going to talk about it in general at first, and then we're going to get more specific when it comes to our salvation. So just as we learned on last week, that when the Most High caused water to come out of a rock, or when he stopped the earth, or when he fed them with manna, he was showing his power. And we learned that the definition of Christ is the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. So we're going to continue in that light with that definition. That is what Christ means. And so I pray that we remember that from last week and that, you know, we're not, when we say Jesus Christ, it is not his last name. It is a title that he had to earn. And so he had to do those things that were necessary for salvation and to get that title. So we're going to start looking at this in depth so that we understand when it comes to Messiah, how he earns this title. It's not just simply going to the cross that the Most High shows his power. But even in all of his prophecies concerning Messiah, that shows his power that he is able to tell us what's going to happen in the future and tell us he's in control of it to demonstrate his power. And then to conquer death, he shows us his power in that, you know, he has shown us his power in the Old Testament. When he resurrected, when the young man got thrown in on the bones of Elijah and came back to life. So he demonstrates his power all through the book because he wants us to understand and know his power and then fear him because of his power and what he will do. And so he wants us to know that what he says is true, and that he's going to do what he says that he's going to do, whether it is good or whether it is bad, whether it's terrible. I don't want to say bad, terrible. He's going to do it. And so we as his people have to understand and respect him and fear him in light of this. And so I wanted to go over a couple of things before we got into this precept, just to bring us up to date on some things. And looks like the video that I wanted to play did not load yet. I don't think that's the name, so it's probably still uploading. I can show this one and I'll come back to that one. So maybe it'll be at the end. But for those who are on the phone, just showing a video of, you know, the hydroponic system that we put in place for the plant outside. So I'll let you listen, but you can't see it. Sister Mary, Sister Denise, are you able to see it? All right, amen. And I know this is low, so let me turn it up.
Potatoes, I'm
going to
actually put out here somewhere, probably along
the,
you know, right in the right, sunlight, right along the fence line.
We got an echo.
They will find out, and the vines will start to go into the ground as well. I'm not really concerned about those. Wherever, just the house next, whatever, you know, there'll always be potatoes growing up under there somewhere. They seem to, you don't seem to be able to get them all. So, I'm going to dig holes in these, dig these out right here so that I can also bind these out, and I'll show you those plants in a little while.
Okay, so that's just a short video. I have a longer one that is still uploading. So I show you the process of the potato buckets, how they're built, you know, how they're made, and then I show you the actual potatoes being in them. And then the update on, I can.
Yes, I can.
What were you saying, Sister Mary? Oh. All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I got to get rid of this echo. I got these two mics. Just a second. All right. What I was saying was there's another longer video that I'm uploading right now that shows the current status for these, like the hydroponic unit with the plants in it, the potato bucket, and I, you know, even uploaded the video to show how I created the potato bucket, and then showing the status of all the plants as far as this goes. So if you'll notice that the grass here or the what do you ever want to call it, this plant growth outside that is already turning brown. Yeah, nothing here grows in the summer. It grows in the spring. So it grows from fall through spring. When it starts to turn summer, everything starts to brown out. Because it's too hot. That'll let you know hell ain't gonna be no nice place. So, amen. It ain't gonna be no joke. So this video sort of shows that. Now further north, it will be still green. Here in the valley, it starts to get hotter sooner. And these plants are just, you know, designed to live here. So they know when it starts to get hot, they go dormant. But the stuff that I'm growing, I went out there this morning, or was it yesterday? I think I went out there yesterday. Didn't go out there this morning. Because as I looked, they weren't absorbing as much water as I thought they were. And so the water, I've been, you know, adding to it every day. But it seems like it's not evaporating as fast as I thought, so I didn't go out and check it today. But I checked the roots, and when I put these plants in there, the roots were just like maybe 2 or 3 inches long. And within 4 or 5 days, they're like a foot long. So, you know, the plants are doubling in size, it seems like, every day. So out in the sun is definitely better. When it comes to growing some of these plants, because they have gotten bigger in the sunlight than they did in the, but you know, I didn't have them in full water in the grow room. I just, you know, did the seed, germinated them, let them germinate, and then I planted them in that rock wool, and then I transplant, you know, then I put those into cups. With, you know, the nutrients to let them grow up till they were big enough to go outside. So that's where we're at. If this video uploads by the time that we're through with tonight, then maybe I'll show that video here, or I'll wait till Thursday, one of the two. Just know that we are proceeding. I am at the point where I'm redoing the grow rooms, pulling everything out of them and moving it so that I can move everything as far as the microgreens next to the AC, because it, you know, it's just too hot and they will not grow if it's too hot. So that's where we're at. So we're going to go ahead and move on into this lesson. And I need to mute my speaker because I'm hearing myself. All right, that's better for me. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
All right, thank you. That's on the phone. I'm trying to make sure that online. And Sister Rachel, Brother Gary, I need to help you guys get into the room at some point if you have a computer at home. Different delivery mechanism. So let me go here. All right, let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today, for truly our Elohim is worthy. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah, Elohim. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to you, O Yah, Elohim. All praises and honor and glory belong to you, O Yah. And you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. Hallelujah. From sun up to sundown, you're worthy. From the beginning of time to the end of time, Yah, you are worthy, Father. As long as we are on the earth and have breath in our body, Father, we will give you praise. We will give you glory and we will give you honor. Glory to you, O Father. Glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Glory to you, hallelujah. We just give all honor to you, O Yah Elohim. You are Elohim all by yourself. And another will we not give glory to. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Oh, let me ask the sisters to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. The book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of Yeshua, Great is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to, I didn't upload this lesson yet, so you sisters won't be able to see these scriptures. I didn't upload this one yet. I'm still working on it. As I said, this particular precept, still working on it, and this part with Messiah, I am still definitely working on it as far as what qualifies or how he qualifies for these titles, because I want you guys to have a good document to go by. So I just want to talk to this for a minute. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. As we were saying on last week, Christ, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That's what that title means. And, you know, if you go into the Strong's or any other place, they would typically tell you that this word, as they defined it, means anointed. Okay? And that anointing is to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, to be anointed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. And that's represented by oil, the olive oil. And so whenever they would anoint a king or they would anoint a new high priest, they would always use olive oil to represent the Spirit of the Most High. But the Spirit of the Most High also literally filled that person. So that's what that anointing means. And if that person started to do evil or wickedness, then the Spirit of the Most High left them. And he couldn't abide there, wouldn't abide there. And so Saul had to learn that the hard way by being disobedient. He didn't do exactly what the Most High told him to do. And then he didn't want to take credit for what he had not done. He blamed it on the people. So the Most High left him and sent an evil spirit instead. And so people got to, you know, we got to understand that who we're worshiping. He says he don't play. And if you don't do what he says to do, he will take his spirit away and send what? An evil one. And you'll be doing stuff and you just don't know why you're doing it. You'll know it's evil, but you won't be able to stop. And so we want to make sure that we are always on his good side, that we're always obedient. All right, so I wanted to actually talk about this salvific process, and then we can start looking at how Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua, and I'm not going to say HaMashiach or Christ yet, because we got to understand that his name is Yeshua, or in the English, as they have translated it, Jesus. But that is not, his name is not Yeshua HaMashiach as a name. That's a name and a title. HaMashiach or the Christ, the Messiah. That's a title, the Messiah, the Christ. Hama, the anointed one. That's a title, not his last name. And many times people get confused because, number one, understanding the oneness of the Most High, the oneness of him, that he's doing it all. We as his people, it is imperative that we know that there's only one, there's not two. And so we sort of talked about this, I don't know if it was on Sunday, but we talked about visions. And that visions are, they represent and they tell a story, and they're symbolic. And so you can see the Most High can come to you in several forms in a vision to get across the point that he's trying to get across. Or even in, if we look at the book of Revelation, then Messiah is the Lamb of the Most High with seven eyes, seven horns. But we know that that is not how Messiah really looked. When he walked the earth, nobody ever said he had seven eyes and seven horns. They probably would have been, you know, doing all kinds of things. They already wanted to kill him, so you know they would have probably said, oh, he's a freak of nature or something. And they would have done, you know, anything to try to get rid of him because they would say he was not natural. But in the scriptures, he holds several titles, like the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And you'll see this on people's profiles, you know, as their, avatar. You'll see a lion, and they'll say the Tribe of Judah, representing Messiah. But you know he's not really a lion. That's an image describes royalty, king of the beast, royalty. And so the images have meaning. And so when a lot of people are reading the scriptures, they're not discerning when they're reading a lot of things that. It's a vision. Where it's a vision at, and you got the Most High sitting next to the Most High, it's a vision, and like, well, there's two there. But it's not. One is doing, is representing a job, is representing an office. And I'm doing both of those offices. And this kind of threw Daniel for a loop. And when you read Daniel, Daniel was upset. Because when he got the vision of, you know, the Ancient of Days, and then the Son of Man was brought before him, he says, my cognations, and I had to go look that word up, but that was just like his inner thoughts, his inner feelings, were disturbed, because who he was seeing was the same being being brought before the same being, but one was called the Son of Man, and one was called the Ancient of Days. So when you read Revelations chapter 1, you got Messiah saying that he is the first and the last, the Almighty. And there can only be one Almighty. Can't have two. One of them can't be Almighty. One is greater than the other. And so in the scriptures, we have this to show us that there's only one doing everything. So when we start looking at Messiah, first thing we got to realize is that the Most High loved us so much that he himself came. He himself came and in flesh and died for our sins. Because he looked down through time, as long as a man and a woman were coming together to create a child, the child would be conceived in sin. Messiah could have nothing to do with sin. Yeshua, the child, could have nothing to do with sin, even in his conscience. He could have nothing to do with sin. And so the scripture says that when a man and a woman come together, the very act of procreation is sin. The bed is not defiled. The relationship is not defiled. But the act of procreating, he says it's unclean and it's sin. So Messiah could not have anything to do with that. He cannot, you know, that cannot be part of his birth. So he, in order to get by that, what did the Most High do? The Most High caused a woman that was a virgin to conceive. Took the man out of the picture. Took the man completely out of the picture so that the conception of Messiah would not make him unclean, his conception. His conception was clean. So when we read the verses, when we go, when we eventually get to the verses of his virgin birth, his virgin conception, then we got to understand why. He was without sin, and even his conception was without sin, whereas you and I were conceived in iniquity. Messiah was not conceived in iniquity, and it had to be so, or else he would have had sin, and he would not qualify as unblemished. So he had to be just like the lambs that were offered. When it says that they were out blemished, without blemish, they didn't have any what do you want to call them, impurities about them. They didn't, you know, they weren't blind, they weren't didn't have half a horn, they weren't lame. Now the Most High never said when the animals got together that it was unclean, but he said when man and a woman get together and have sex, it makes them unclean. And being unclean is a sinful act, okay, in the scriptures. So according to his law. So Messiah couldn't do that, so the Most High had to impregnate Mary in a supernatural way. No man could be involved, okay? And so that's one of the aspects that we want to look at this. Only he could do this. Now today, they can artificially inseminate a woman, okay? But they're still using a man's sperm. But they can actually get around that as well. They can just take a cell out of somebody's mouth. If they took it out of that woman's mouth and took the nucleus out with the chromosomes in it, they could actually put that in an egg, and it will start growing a baby. The chromosomes will start to divide, and because of where they're at, and they will start to reproduce. They will produce a clone of that woman. Okay, an exact replica of her, even though it won't have the memories of her and the experiences of her, but it will be a clone of her genetically. It'll come out looking like her twin, minus any scars or anything like that. So mankind has done that, and they're doing that because they actually want to try to disprove the Most High. That's why they're trying to do all these things. If you ever look at science and what they're trying to do, they're trying to replicate what the Most High did so they can say, oh, see, that wasn't anything. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High, when he got DNA from David, that's how Messiah is after the seed of David, and impregnated Mary with it. But David was long dead. So where did the Most High get it from? His bones? So we got to understand, or he just spoke it into Mary. But no man was involved. There was no sexual intercourse. So when it says that which is conceived is of the Holy Spirit, number one, then you got to know who the Holy Spirit is. And when people say that the Holy Spirit is an angel, then that makes Messiah's father an angel. That is just totally wrong. When they say that the Holy Spirit is some other spirit, other than the Most High, this is why it's very important that you understand. And why, you know, how can man, society in general, not see this? If he's the son of Elohim, begotten by Elohim, he literally has to be begotten by the Most High. And that's what makes him the son of the Most High. So we got to understand that. So that within itself, the Most High had never done that. I don't think even in Melchizedek. I think that was a different type of manifestation. I think, what do they call that? There's a word that they use for this. And it is not coming to me. Good grief. But when the Most High appears in the earth in a different form other than his natural state, there's a word for it. It'll come to me in a minute. But it wasn't that. I think Melchizedek was a form of that, but Messiah, I don't think Melchizedek, he said Melchizedek was without father and without mother. He didn't come through the womb. So he's they call it a theophany. Theophany is what it's called. And so this theophany with Melchizedek, the Most High, Melchizedek is the Most High in flesh. But he didn't come to a woman, and he didn't come for, he didn't come to die for the sins or to be the Lamb. He was the King of Salem. And whatever work the Most High was doing in the earth at that time, you know, we're not given a whole lot of information on Melchizedek. But Melchizedek, it says that he was without mother, without father, without beginning of days. He was eternal. There's only one being that fits that description, and that is the Most High. Okay, but he was in flesh, and Abraham met him in flesh. Okay, so we got to understand who Melchizedek is. And then he was a priest. He came, you know, he was a king and a priest in Salem. A priest after, you know, the eternal priesthood, the Levitical tribe, the Levitical priesthood had not been put in place yet. Israel was not even a country yet. The 12 tribes were not even formed yet. Jacob and his 12 sons were not even born yet when Abraham met Melchizedek. So this theophany, this appearing of the Most High in flesh, was a different type of act. But with Messiah, Messiah was going to come as the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, and for this purpose was he born, to come into the world to give us the good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then to pay the price for our sins, the debt that we owe the Most High. And the Most High says, you know, by one man, sin entered into the world. And so by one man, he was going to make a way for man to come out of sin. And so through this one man, he himself in the flesh, as the Son of Elohim, we are to believe in what he did. He says, now if you believe in what I did, you believe I came, and you believe that Yeshua is, I told you that he's the Son of Elohim, and if you can believe that and keep, you know, we have to say it the way the scriptures say it, because we can't go against what he says, even though he tells us and shows us that, you know, this is him in the flesh. He says, I want you to know him as this child shall be known as the Son of Elohim. But he's the one that created the world. And the one that created the world told us that he created the world alone and by himself. He didn't know any other God. And so, you know, everybody that's listening, and for prosperity's sake, we've gone over these things before, but for prosperity's sake, and so that we understand, you know, what the Most High is doing. The Most High says in Isaiah chapter 43 that we Israel are his witnesses. Is there a God beside him? That's in Isaiah 44. Is there a God beside him? He says, no, I know not any. So Israel can't know any other God. Israel can't know two gods. Israel can't know three gods. The people that he chose as a witness, the rest of the world, they can know whatever they want to know. They can see this thing however they want to see it. Some people believe Michael is Jesus. But the scriptures go strictly against that. Okay? And Michael is an angel. And the scripture says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, this day have I begotten thee. He never said that to an angel. And Messiah did not exist post being born into the world. Messiah was a prophecy, a word. That's why it says, in the beginning was the word. Messiah was a prophecy. The Most High knew he was going to have to do a work. So he prophesied about it. And when the time came, Messiah came into the world. The Word manifested itself. The Most High sent Gabriel, the angel, to tell Mary, you are blessed and you're chosen by the Most High to bear the Son of the Most High, the Messiah. And she had to accept that assignment. She had to accept it. And she said, be it as thou hast spoken unto thy handmaid. And she was immediately pregnant. But it was by the word of the Most High. It wasn't the word of the angel, but it was the word of the Most High. So he tells her that the power of the highest. Now, again, a title, the power of the highest. That's the title for the Most High, Elohim. Elohim himself, the Holy Spirit. We were doing for spiritual warfare, we were doing, you know, Black History, and we were going to look at a video, and we came across the urban apologetics or Christian apologetics? I have to look at what it was again. We all had an assignment. I already did the assignment and to get, you know, what this definition for this organization is and what they believe in. And at the same time, on the same site that I found, you know, what this apologetics is all about, you know, they had a picture of the Trinity, a shield, in other words, for the Trinity. And I'm going to pull this up in the room. That's why I wish Sister Rachel and Brother Gary, I'm going to have to try to get y'all on the site so that, you know, as we start going forward with videos and things like that, that you're able to see them and comprehend what's going on versus, you know, a picture says a thousand words. And I think this slide right here is the one I made. Let's see here. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do the one that I got from the internet. But I'll describe it to you. All right. Sister Mary and Sister Denise, are you able to see this picture that I have up? And you're muted if you're trying to talk. All right, so I'm going to take it that you can see it. Because I'm not hearing you guys. All right, here is the shield, we call it the shield of the Trinity, okay? And in the center, and you can sort of picture this, we got four circles, and they're in like an upside down triangle. And in this triangle, in the center, it says God. And on the outside, you know, these they got these two, three, where there's four circles, three circles in a triangle, and then a circle in the middle. And in the circle in the middle, it has God. And then a line or a lane going out to each of these circles, other circles on the outside, it says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit point to God. And it says God is. Okay. It says that God is. And on the outside, it has a circle. It says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it says the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. So they have three distinct beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Trinitarianism, okay? And in the center, they have the word God. And it says God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. But they say that the Father is not the Holy Spirit. They say that the Holy Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. So you got three beings making up God, making up Elohim. That's the Trinitarian doctrine. So when I found that, I said, okay, this explains their doctrine very clearly in a picture, what they believe. Now, I made one for my understanding of where the Most High showed me that this picture should have been made, okay, in the oneness of Elohim. So I'm going to put it up, and I used the same concept that they used. And let me see if I can blow this up on the screen. No, that's too big. Yeah, that's way too big. Come down to about 75%. Okay, that makes it bigger on your screen. All right. And I got this, I used the same concept that they did. Four circles in a triangle. But in the middle where they have God, I put his name. Because God is a title. Okay? God is a title. And we just say God to identify this being that we are dealing with. But the being that we're dealing with has a name. And so I'm going to use his name, Yah. Whatever you're convicted of, use that, but for me, this simplifies it, because I'm in this, I have his name, Yah, in the middle. And if you have a piece of paper, you can draw this out. If you draw, and I have in their demonstration, let me go back to them first, and I come to this one so that we have an understanding. So if you will, get a piece of paper and a pencil. For Sister Mary and Sister Denise, because you're in the room, you can see it. You don't necessarily have to draw this out. But everybody else listening on the phone or listening on over the internet and not in the room, I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to draw this out. Okay? So I want you to draw two circles at the same level. Two circles of, you know, side by side, but put a little bit of distance between them, because you're going to have to put some stuff in between. So you're going to draw two circles, and they're going to be at the top, and they're going to be apart. And you have a space between them. And then I want you to draw a third circle, come down in the middle of those two circles, come down maybe, let's say 3 or 4 inches, and draw another circle, okay? And then below that circle, 3 or 4 inches, I want you to draw a fourth circle. So when you connect these circles on the outside, they should form a triangle that's upside down, or an upside down pyramid, okay? with three circles on the edge or at the point of the pyramid, but they're upside down. The pyramid is upside down. And in the center, there's a circle. Okay. And then I want you to draw a line on the outside. You can just do one line. I'll try to send this picture out to you guys. See if you come up with the same thing that I'm describing. I want you to draw a line between the two circles at the top. So a line across to the two, to connecting the two circles. And then the circle on the left, draw a line down and connect it to the circle at the bottom. Not in the center, but at the bottom. And then the circle that's on the right, do the same thing. Draw a line down to the circle that's on the bottom, not the one in the middle. So that should be a pyramid, upside down pyramid. And this is the way their shield looks, okay? And then in the center of that pyramid, they have the word God. In the circle that's to the left, at the top, I want you to write the Father. And in the circle that is at the top to the right, I want you to write the Son, S-O-N. And then the circle that's at the bottom that makes the point of the pyramid at the bottom, I want you to write the Holy Spirit. So you should have a pyramid that has circles on at each corner of the pyramid and with a circle in the middle. Okay? Now, on the lines, on the outside of the lines, on the pyramid, on each side, you have three sides, I want you to write the word is not on all three lines. Is not. Okay? So it should be, you know, it should be like the Father is not the Holy Spirit. And then when you come from the Holy Spirit up to the Son, it should be like the Holy Spirit is not the Son. And then the line between the Father and the Son, it should be like the Father is not the Son or the Son is not the Father. So that gives you the pyramid. Now we're going to connect. I want you to, from the center of each one of those circles, I want you to draw a line from the Father to the center circle. And inside the center circle, it should just say God or Elohim. So you're going to draw a line from the Father to the center circle. And on that line, you're going to write the word is. And then you're going to draw a line from the top right circle that says the Son to the center circle, like diagonally, to the center circle. And you're going to write is on that. So it's going to be like God is the Son. God is the Father. And then you're going to draw a line from God in the middle down to the Holy Spirit. And on that line, you're going to write is. So it's going to say God is the Holy Spirit. So when we read this and we interpret their shield, they believe in three distinct beings making up God, Elohim. They believe the Father is separate from the Son. The Father is separate from the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit is separate from the Father. The Holy Spirit is separate from the Son. These are three distinct beings. And all three of these beings, in their understanding, make up God. So it's like a family. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would have to be like the woman. Because you got a family here. The way they are describing this. You got a father and a son, but you don't have a female. And that would be, you know, the Holy Spirit would be playing that role in this case. If there's three distinct beings, a family, and there's three distinct beings make up the family of God. So the Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. But all three of them are God. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay? Now, the Most High tells us, number one, when we go into Isaiah chapter 43 and 44, the Most High tells us, or you have to ask yourself the question first. I'm saying it's the Most High. Everybody that I've talked to who read these scriptures are saying that in Isaiah it's the Father talking. And I'm going to go with that. The Father in Isaiah chapter 43 and 44 says two things. Number one, he says, I don't know any other God. So if the Son is God and he's separate from the Father, he would be a God. And if the Holy Spirit is separate from the Father, then the Holy Spirit is also God, a God. And I'm saying a God, not the God. They're separate and apart. But their doctrine says they make up one in the same God as an entity, one entity. But three individuals, one God. Because they're trying to understand this thing, and when you look at it, you're like, your understanding contradicts itself. Okay. So one God, and the only way that this could work is that God is a family, and the family is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the name of the family is God. Okay, that's the only way to actually explain this, the way that they have it illustrated. But that breaks some things. Okay, it breaks some things. Number one, the God of the Old Testament says, number one, I don't know any other God. There is none beside me. I'm the only one. I don't get permission from anyone else. I don't defer to anyone else for an opinion, for anything. So when you're reading these verses, you got to understand that you can't break this, what he says of himself. So the Father in Torah says, I don't know any other God. Number two, he says, I will not form any other God. There was no God formed before me, neither will there be after me. So if we got three beings, and he's saying me, not us, me, myself, and I, singular. So if the understanding that there's three beings, in Torah, the Most High says, I don't know any other God. That means you don't know a Son as God. And he don't know the Holy Spirit as God. It's only him. He says, I did everything, created the heavens and the earth, and stretched forth the heavens and created the earth alone and by myself. So when he says that these things were done through or by the Son, then you got to say, wait a minute. Are there two? Did the Son exist prior to? This is where they're getting this stuff from. But you can't break the scriptures, and you can't make the word of the Most High a lie. And he says, Israel, this is the very reason that Israel exists. You are my witnesses. So let's go in your Bible. Does everybody do this? Isaiah chapter 43. And if you drew that picture, you can write down Isaiah 43. And we're just going to get a couple of verses out of Isaiah 43. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 44. And I have to look up the other places where he tells you. There's only him in Isaiah. And I can take you all over the book. But we cannot break and we cannot make his word a lie. Okay. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. And let's start, we're going to get verses 10 and 11. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I'm saying, Sister Denise and Sister Mary, I can't hear them because I turned off my speaker. Let me turn that back on so I can hear them reply. I'm going to get a slight echo here. I'm going to turn this down. All right. Say something, Sister Mary, Sister Denise. Amen. All right. I hear you guys. Okay. So we're at Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to verse 10 and 11. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim formed, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, he says that we are his witnesses. This is the reason that he formed Israel as part of his priesthood, to be a witness as to who he is. Never mind what the rest of the world says. What did he tell his witnesses? That he's the only God. There was no God formed before him, and neither will there be what? After him. So when the Trinitarian doctrine says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are God, and they're separate and apart from him, the Son is separate from the Father is separate from the Son, the Father is separate from the Holy Spirit is separate from, you know, both of those. But they all three make up God. So they're trying to justify through their own understanding rather than listening to what he's saying, who he is. So he says, I will not form another God. That means that if Messiah is God, then, and the Holy Spirit is God, separate and apart from God, the Father, I'm going to say it that way, for their understanding, then we got three gods. Everybody understand that? It is blasphemous. But they don't know they're blaspheming. Okay, they don't know it. Now, they're not blaspheming the Holy Spirit directly. They're not, you know, cursing or anything the Holy Spirit, but they are incorrect. Now, let's go to Isaiah 44. And let me pull up another document real quick. Because when we start looking at Christ, this is going to be important. Give me a hot second. Let me pull up another reference document that I have. Let's see, the oneness of Yah. Let's see, I got that in under here. Hey, give me a hot second. I apologize. I wasn't going to go down this road, but the way I'm being led to do it, so we're going to be faithful to that. Okay, let me go a different place then. Hold on a second here. Okay, I'll just get it from this document right here. Okay. I want to do this from Isaiah. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 44. And we'll get verse 6. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. And when you have it, say amen. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yah of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And besides me, there is no what? There is no Elohim. There is no God. Besides me, there is no Elohim. Okay. Isaiah 43 and 11. Isaiah 43 and 11. I, even I am Yah, and besides me there is no what? No Savior. Isaiah 44 and 8. And when you have it, say amen. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. So if he don't know any, we can't know any. Because how are we going to know something we don't know? Isaiah 45. In verse 5. And Sister Mary, let me have you read that. You there, Sister Mary? I can hear you now. I can hear you now, Sister Mary. Okay, go ahead. I gird it. So he's saying in verse 5, there is none else. There is no God beside him. I girded thee, I dressed thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse 6. Can he say it any plainer than that? Okay, let's get some more, because this Trinitarian doctrine, when it comes to Messiah, you know, it just has to be put to rest. Let's drop down to verse 21. And go ahead and read that to my sister. So, again, he tells us, and nobody said, he's been saying this since what, ancient times? Have not I, Yah, and there is no Elohim else beside me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There is none beside me. I don't know any other God. There is none else beside me. There is no God beside me. He don't, you know, he keeps saying the same thing over and over again, right? He want to make sure that we know this. Hosea chapter 13. And let's get verse 4. Hosea 13 and 4. And I'll read it. And when we have it, we'll say amen. For I am Yah, thy Elohim, from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no Elohim but me. Who are you supposed to know besides him? For there is no Savior besides who? Besides me, besides him, right? So, when he says Messiah is the Savior, Yeshua the Savior, the Most High says, I'm the only Savior there is. And when we understand who he is, then the scripture remains true, right? When we know that he is Elohim, and that he is no other Elohim, and that he came in flesh, this scripture is literal. Becomes very literal. Messiah is not the Savior symbolically. Messiah is the Savior because he's Elohim, and that's literal. He literally is the Savior. The Most High didn't save us through somebody. He came and saved us himself. Okay. Let's see what else I got here. We read Isaiah 43 and 10 and 11. Did we read Isaiah 45 and 22? Read 22. Keep going.
I have sworn by myself the words that I've drawn out from my mouth in righteousness.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was in the wrong place. But he said he swore by himself, right?
Yeah.
Because there was nobody above him. So he swore on his own self. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim and there is none else. Go to Isaiah 46. Let's get verse 9. And you go ahead and read that.
Remember, I formed things of old, for I am Elohim, and there is none else. I am Elohim, and there is none like me.
There is none like me. If so let's discuss this for a minute. If Yeshua is there as the Son, and he is the Son, wouldn't he be like his Father? But whoever's talking said, there's none like me, right?
Right.
And if the Holy Spirit is there, separate from the Father, and the Holy Spirit is God, wouldn't that be contradicting the scriptures again? Because the Holy Spirit can't be like God either, right? If it's separate and apart. There is none like me. And so we either believe him or you don't. And when you're interpreting the scriptures, when you're reading the scriptures, you can't break this. So no matter what you're reading and how you're reading it, you have to. Oh, I'm wondering what's going on here on my desk. Yes, ma'am.
Did Yeshua say that my Father and I are one?
Yep. But because he said my Father and I, people think it's what? Two people. But he's telling us, yeah, they because he has it written that way so that they don't understand. But he said it was not given to them to what?
Understand.
So you see how they get where they are? He spoke in parables. Right. He said, Peter said, show us the Father, right? And he said, and we'll be satisfied. And he says, how are you going to say, tell me to show you the Father? You looking at it.
Right.
He says that directly to him.
Yep.
Just go get that so we don't say Brother Miles said it.
I'm not talking about to say that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. But you know, you got a lot of people that they just can't get this. But we need it for Christ. So let's see here. Hold on a second. If I can search for this a different way. Sometimes I hate these programs I have. Go to John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. And we're going to get verses 8 and 9. And this is Philip that said that. Okay, go ahead, my sister. You can read that.
So 8 and 9?
Yes, ma'am. 14, 8 and 9.
Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficient us.
Suffices us.
Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have thou not known me, Philip? He that seen me has seen the Father. And how said thou then, show us the Father?
You seen me, you seen the Father. You're looking at him.
Right.
So people will take that as they will take it like you see me because I'm representing him. Right, but that's how they take it. I and my Father are one. They will take that as we're one in mind, in purpose. But we're still two separate beings. He literally is telling them the truth. I and my Father are one. We're the same being. I am the Father. How sayest thou, show me the Father? So he tells us in the Old Testament in Isaiah, and some few other places. There's only one God. And he said he don't know any other. And the one that created the world is the one that came into the world. So you're looking at the Father in what? Flesh. So when the Trinitarian doctrine says three in one, when it says three separate beings, but one God, then that clearly shows that they don't know what they're saying. They're given what I like to call a carnal understanding of God, because it breaks the scriptures. It is not what he says of himself. Okay, now I'm gonna put up the drawing that I did, and I'll send you guys this so you have understanding. Oh, I'm on the wrong computer. Give me 1 second here. All right, now you see the drawing that I have up now?
Yeah, but it's too big.
It's too big?
Yeah. It's okay. Okay, I'm moving over some. Let's see.
We can never break that, right? We can never break that. He said he don't know any other Elohim. There's no one besides him. So I did a chart just like they did, okay? A shield just like they did. But putting things in a proper perspective. So we have the Holy Spirit, we got the Father, and we got the Son. Okay. The Holy Spirit, I put the Holy Spirit at the top because Father is something that the Holy Spirit became. Son is something that the Holy Spirit became. But we call that being what? Yah. And I didn't want to use the word God. I could have, but I didn't want to use the word God. Because if we use his name, then his name means I am. So I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all one being. Not in purpose. They are literally what? One person. And they have a name. In the spirit, he's Yah. In the flesh, he's Yahshua. Because Yahshua means Yah is our what? Yahshua means Yah is our Savior. So inside of Messiah's name is the name of the Father and what he is. Then we just read in Isaiah that he says, I'm your Savior. And his name has to say that. That's why it's important to understand the Hebrew. I am your Savior. Yah, our Savior. Yahshua. So it all lines up. Okay, let's move on. So if you look in the middle of this graph, I have it saying, and I'm going to make it a little bit bigger, because you see in that line it says, the Father is a title for who? Yah? Holy Spirit is a title for who? The Son is a title for who? These are just titles for the same being. Okay. Not three separate beings in one. So I'll send this out to you guys so you have it. And then I'll send the one for Trinity so you have it as well. Okay. No, I don't believe in it either. But we still got people among us that do. Well, you can't tell them anything because they will read this stuff and they don't want to hear it. Oh, yeah. They do. They have people to leave today because they didn't want to hear it. But it's okay. All right. So let's go to the book of Daniel. We're going to start discussing Christ. And you know, I had to ask the Most High. And you know, this is probably pretty bold. But I said, why didn't you come yourself for us? If you loved us so much, how come you didn't come yourself? And that's what he showed me. I did come. So if you ask the right question, and you ask it out of respect, I'm living proof the Most High won't strike you down. Amen. Came in the flesh. He said, it was me. But I want you to know me as a son. So I did come, since you asked. All right. Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to get verse 24 through 27. And we're going to start looking at, we're looking at the power and the wisdom of Elohim. If you can predict the future, is that powerful? Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24 through 27. Okay. Seventy weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to the building of Jerusalem and to the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even the troublous times. This is we're reading through 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So he's telling us when Messiah is supposed to come. So we're telling us when he's supposed to be cut off, that he's not coming to rule the earth at that time. He's going to be cut off out of the earth. And if he's got an everlasting kingdom, then at this time, if he's being cut off, he can't what? Still be there? After 62 weeks. So 64 is 60. Plus 2 weeks. A score is 20. 3 times 20, 60. Plus 2 weeks. 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end shall be with a flood. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolation. So he's really, Daniel is saying, hey, I figured out when Messiah is coming from the writings of Jeremiah. And I figured out that Messiah is going to be cut off in the middle of the week. So he's going to, if he's cut off in the middle of the week, then that means a week is how many days? And the days represent years here. So how long was Messiah's ministry on the earth? 90. I didn't say how long was he on the earth. I said how long was his ministry. It's represented in weeks here, but he's cut off in the middle of the week. So how many days in a week? So in the middle would be half. So how long was his ministry? Three and a half days, actually, because 3.5 plus 3.5 is 7, right? So 3.5 years. That's how long he ministered in the earth before they killed him. He still got the other half of the week to finish out. He's going to do that when he comes back. So this is what the prophecy is saying. Messiah's going to come. He's going to come in the 62nd week. He's going to get cut off in the middle of that week. And then he'll come back to finish it. 3.5 years. So how long is the tribulation supposed to be?
3.5 years.
Right. That's going to be the second half of his ministry.
Wow.
Amen. 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 Yeah, it's good. So, this is the power of the Most High. He's telling us in a prophetic way, and then he allows a prophet to explain it, that this is what's going to happen. This hasn't happened yet at that time. This is what's going to happen in the future, and I'm going to make it happen because I'm Elohim. This is showing his power. Let's get another verse. I mean, you can look at it in the days, because it'll say 1,260 days or something like that. When you go divide that by 30, you'll come up with 3.5 years. Amen. To Yah be the glory. Okay, let's do this. Go back to Isaiah 45. The book of Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to get verses 7 through 9. And Sister Mary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead and read that.
Okay, what verse did you say?
Isaiah 45, verses 7 through 9. Pot shards. So he's saying, no, you can stop right there.
What's that?
Okay, so he's saying, I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, Yah, have created it. Woe unto him that strives with his maker. What he's saying by that, he's not talking about walking with his maker. He's talking about arguing, disagreeing. That strives with his maker. Let the pot jar. Now, when if we're the clay, when he makes something out of us and breaks it, when you break a jar, what are the broken pieces called? They're called shards. They're called shards. So the pot shards, the broken pieces. Yeah, shards. Like, I can't pronounce it any better. Amen. The pot shards are the broken pieces of the pot. Strive with the pot shards of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he has no hands. So how are you going to question your maker? And how are you going to tell him what he's going to do and what he can't do since he made you? And he uses that same meaning with your father and your mother. Woe unto him that says unto his father, what begattest thou? How are you going to say to your father what you making? You ain't even born yet, but even if you were, he begat you. Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Now this is the child talking to their what? Parents? But he's saying, he's also equating it to him. So in the natural sense, the child should never say to their father or mother, how did you make me? Why did you make me? You ain't have a choice in the matter. And how you gonna ever be greater than your father or your mother since they made you? Let's see. There's another place I want to go. Go to Amos, chapter 3. The book of Amos, chapter 3. And let's get verse 6. And Sister Denise, if you'll read that one.
Evil in a city, and Yah has not done it.
Verse 7.
Surely, Yah, Elohim, will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servant, the prophet.
Now, this is the way he used to deal with Israel. He said, I'm not going to do anything that I don't tell you about first. So you will know that I'm doing it. He says, but surely Yah will do nothing. Let's go back up. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and Yah has not done it? He's asking them a question. He says, so you blow the trumpet when you get under attack. You blow the trumpet in the new moon. He says, but when is somebody coming against you, you blow the trumpet as a what, warning? And the people should be what, afraid? Because they're up under attack? He says, but if evil is being done in a city, have I not done it? I create light and I create darkness. I create good and I create what? I'm doing it all. But you can't tempt me with evil. That don't mean I don't cause it to happen. I'm in control. So let's go to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 14. Now, we got a second part coming here. Yeah, Mark 13 and 14. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that read understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now he's prophesying there about some unholy thing being in the temple. That's not supposed to be in the temple. The abomination of desolation. Because who's supposed to go into the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest, right?
Yeah.
But somebody's going to go into the Holy of Holies that's not supposed to be there. And declare themselves to be God. That actually happened in 70 AD. So this Roman emperor entered into the temple before they tore it down. Now, you know you're in trouble when the temple of the Most High has been breached like that. So what did they do? Run. Because I ain't there. That's the only way that's going to happen. I have left the building. And y'all are in trouble. So Messiah told them that Jerusalem was going to be leveled, right? So it happened in 70 AD. And this Roman emperor, either Titus or I forget the name of the other one that could be, they entered into the Holy of Holies and declared themselves to be God, mocking God. But the Most High had forsaken Israel by that time for killing Messiah.
And I thought this was so
about what's to come.
It's going to happen again.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's going to happen again. Right, he don't change. But it's going to happen again. Amen. Because some scriptures are dual. They are fulfilled more than once. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. The thing is, we're looking at here is he's prophesying these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are coming to what? Pass? Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's get verse 15. Deuteronomy 18 and 15.
Bless you.
Bless you. Amen. Now, this is the prophecy about who? Yah, thy Elohim, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, likened unto me. Now, this is Moses talking. Unto him you shall hearken. So this is the prophecy about Moses. This is a prophecy by Moses of Messiah. Yah will raise up a prophet unto you, Israel, of thy brethren, like unto me. Moses was the lawgiver, right? Messiah had to come and deal with the law. And he came and showed them how they, what, had corrupted the law? And how they had, how some things had been given because of the hardness of their hearts? So this is that prophet. That's why when they came, they knew that they were expecting another prophet, a great prophet like Moses. They said, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto me, right? And Moses was supposed to be considered one of the greatest of their prophets. He gave them, by the Most High, he gave them what, the laws, statutes, laws, and commandments?
Yeah.
So there's going to be another one to come in. And what did he say about, what did Moses tell him to do with this one? Well, what did he say at the end of 15? Unto him shall you listen. The one that's coming after me is the one you need to listen to. They knew that there was one coming. They're supposed to be looking for it. That's why the Pharisees sent to John. Let's go there. To see if they knew what they were supposed to be expecting. I'm going to go to the book of John. John chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Now let's start in verse. Start in verse 17. We're in John chapter 1, starting in verse 17. And when you have it, say amen. And Sister Denise, if you'll start reading it.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
No man. Keep reading.
Yes, ma'am.
No man has seen Elohim at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
Keep going.
And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levi from Jerusalem to ask him, who are thou?
Who are you? That's what they want to know. They know somebody's supposed to be coming, right?
Yeah.
Who are you? They want to know who John is. Keep going, verse 20.
And he confessed and denied not, but confess, I am not the Christ.
So you looking for the Christ, I'm not him. Keep going.
And they asked him, what then? Are thou Elijah? He said, I am not. Are thou that prophet?
That prophet. They knew there, hold on right there, they knew there was a prophet supposed to come, right? Didn't Moses tell him another prophet is going to be given unto you like unto me?
Yeah.
So they knew there was another prophet coming like unto Moses. They're asking, are you that prophet? Keep going.
And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an account to them that sent us? What shall thou have of thyself, of that self? Keep reading.
Keep reading.
He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. May face the way of Yah. As said the prophet Elijah.
Okay, so stop there. Let's go find this in Elias or in Isaiah. Hold on a second. Go to Isaiah chapter 4. Now, Moses said there's going to be a prophet to come, right? They come and ask John, are you that prophet, right? John said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, right? Now, Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 1, and that would be Sister Mary. Yeah, chapter 40, starting in verse 1, Sister Mary.
The
Wait a minute, stop right there. Didn't John say he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness?
Yes.
Now, when we read this, in verse 1 and 2, he says, speak you, he says, comfort you, my people, saith Yah, saith Elohim. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished. She's been at war. And that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of Yah's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one that cries in the wilderness. What is he supposed to cry? So what is, now, John says he's that prophet. I'm that prophet that's crying in the wilderness, preparing you the way of Yah. Isaiah said that this prophet was supposed to come. Okay? That's what he just told us. Thus said the prophet Isaiah, right? Isaiah said there's supposed to be a prophet that comes that's going to be crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of Yah. And what is he supposed to cry?
Make his path straight.
Make his path straight. But what else? Let's see. Read verse 6. Start in verse 6, Sister Mary. Keep going. Okay, the word of Elohim is going to stand how long? Okay, now verse 9. So John is supposed to say, is supposed to tell them, behold who? He's saying, cry aloud. Tell all the cities of Jerusalem, repent, make straight the path of Yah. Behold your Elohim. He's supposed to announce the arrival of who? The Messiah, which is who? What did it just tell you right there? Keep it with the scriptures for right here. Behold who? Your God. Behold your Elohim. This is who's coming. This is who John is announcing. I am your Savior. Is that not what Elohim said? And when Elohim comes, John is the heralder. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Repent, make straight your paths. Your Elohim is what? Coming. So they should have known. When he answered them and said, I'm the one crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah. They all they had to do was come here and find out who the prophet was supposed to be announcing. They did know, but they wanted to deny it. They didn't want to give up power. So when they came asking, are you that prophet? And John said, no, I'm not him. He said, then who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Wait a minute, wasn't there a prophet supposed to say that? They go look it up. All of y'all behind is grass, and the Most High is going to burn y'all down. And he's coming. Behold your Elohim. Who does John announce? Behold the Lamb of God. They should have known that the Lamb was who? Elohim. Did it say right here, behold your Messiah? Your God. Right. So that's who he was announcing. So when he says, behold the Lamb of God, they go to the scriptures. Wait a minute. This prophet is supposed to be announcing the arrival of Elohim. Elohim said he is our Savior. You see how they have to put this stuff together? So let's stop here for this evening. We're after the top of the hour. We will pick this up on next week. We just start scratching the surface. And we will continue in this. But the power of the Most High is that he can tell us what he's going to do in the future, and it happens the same exactly as he said. And he's telling them exactly what he's going to do to bring about their salvation. They should have been running to Messiah. But instead they rejected him. So we'll pick this up on next week. All right, amen?
Amen.
All right, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is steadfast and it shall never fail. And that you have displayed your power all through the scriptures with every prophecy that you gave to every prophet concerning Messiah, and that he is, the Messiah would be you in the flesh, and that you would be coming to save us from our sins, from your wrath. So, Father, as we go through this series, let us hear your voice. And let us hearken unto your words. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. All right. So on Thursday, we will do the business meeting. We will meet in the private room. And with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I can't love you like Messiah or the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. And where is our theme song at?
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.